Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. 1 hour from now, Andy Reid will speak to the media. The only place on a Monday you hear from Coach Reid is your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. It happens during Cody and Gold each and every Monday throughout the football season. We will get to the trash of the day in 17 minutes, but here in about 10 minutes or so, we will open up the phone lines. We don't, frankly, take a ton of calls on the show.
You can call now if you
want. We mainly lean on the text line. Obviously, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, you can comment on those platforms as well, but it's uncharted territory for Chiefs fans of recent era, at least. I understand that the Chiefs have had 0-2 starts plenty of times in their franchise's history, but not in this era. First time with Patrick Mahomes, they're 0-2. How's everybody feeling? Where's the panic level? Were you out at Arrowhead yesterday? Let us know. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. You can text, but also we will take some calls if you do want to chime in here in about 10 minutes or so.
So go ahead and get online.
I want to start this hour talking about Travis Kelce. Because in 2 weeks, he has made, in my opinion, two plays that I don't want to say are the reason they have lost, but certainly two of the reasons they have lost these football games. And as we said, when you have the issues you currently have offensively, when your defense is still trying to figure things out, even though they improved, you have to have guys like Mahomes, Jones, Kelce, McDuffie, Juwan Taylor, for that matter. You know, those guys have to play at an extremely high level. I don't want to say perfect, but they certainly can't make crucial mistakes that lead to a big shift in the game, points directly, whatever it may be. And Travis Kelce in 2 weeks has made two massive mistakes. Last week, you know, the route is wrong, is run improperly. Those are, remember, his words, not mine. He's the one, I'll just based off of, you can say he's defending Worthy. Maybe he is. I don't know. He said he ran the wrong route, or at least he messed up. It caused Worthy to get hurt. Massive mistake. Massive mistake, if that's the case. Then, we all just saw it yesterday. He drops a catch that has to be caught, that I'm sure he's caught 90-95% of the time in his NFL career.
Yeah.
He knows it. Everybody knows it. Gets batted up. Intercepted, returned to midfield, essentially leads to points and just a huge momentum shift. Not to mention you were about to score. Who knows? Maybe the Chiefs win this football game. I think you and I both think they win. Yes. if he catches that football.
The way they were playing defensively,
In fact, I think it was Jesse Newell over at The Athletic that put out just one of the metrics. There's different sites that put the win probability, but it was RBSDM.com said that Travis Kelce's dropped pass turn interception was worth negative 7.1 points. Essentially, the win probability went from 53% for the Chiefs, dropped all the way down to 24%. That is a huge shift on one play involving one of your leaders, involving a star player on your team. That's what's been so shocking, is that 2 weeks of the season, okay, they're 0-2, yes, the offense is struggling, yeah, they lost Worthy, they lost Rice, but your number one playmaker because of those guys being out is Travis Kelce, and he has hurt you
2 weeks in a row. He is an emotional player and plays with emotion. I'm not going to try to take that away from him in any way. But he has lost it on the sideline twice, or on the field twice in 2 weeks. He was rightfully criticizing Juwan Taylor, but yelling Juwan Taylor about the mistake he had made in game one when he had gotten called for yet another penalty. After they scored a touchdown, he was seen on sideline going to break, saying that he was tired of it, right? And used some curse words and some, you know, colorful language, as it were. This goes back to what they had said at the beginning of the season, and they said for two seasons in a row, is that they want the offense to feel fun. And it has felt the opposite of that for 2 to 3 consecutive years. And I'm assuming at some point it's just getting to Travis. But the problem is, it's very simple. He's always made drops. He's never been like a perfect player who doesn't make drops. He's always had, not like a problem, but like that's been a part of his game. He'll drop an occasional pass here or there. It was just the worst possible drop at the worst possible time. What's weird about this is, even before that moment, and even after Gold, I would argue that it is fairly obvious that Travis Kelce looks better this year than he did last year. Gold, I think he looks like a better player this season and will be a more impactful player for the Chiefs this season than he was at any point last year. And I think we'd all universally agree that had he not dropped that pass in the end zone, that swung the game. It was the single biggest play in the game. And so how do you get past that? How do you hold him accountable? It's not like he's not going to hold himself accountable. I'm still not even sure that worthy one was his fault. And he's not doing just what Patrick Mahomes did after that play, which is Patrick Mahomes trying to take blame for that interception. He said he could have put it on Travis Kelce better. He could have thrown that pass better. It hit him in his two hands. And Patrick is still saying, I could have thrown it better. So like for Travis, he'll take the blame. He's happy to take the blame here. But on the football field, he's got to find a way to like minimize those mistakes for the next 4 weeks. He is their most important offensive player other than Patrick Mahomes for the next month. So like, can you act like it until Worthy gets back? Maybe even when Worthy's back and he's trying to get back in the swing. You are the most important offensive player outside of Mahomes, so you got to play like it.
Yeah, and that's the key part, you know, going forward here. And it's not even yet, specifically the next couple of weeks, whether without Worthy and or Rice. But I mean, the entire season, though, I mean, these kind of mistakes, though, you cannot afford to have them in this division now that looks like it's going to be tighter than ever because of the hole that you've kind of dug yourself in. We'll talk more about the AFC West after tonight because there's a big game in the West this evening, late one, 9 o'clock kickoff. Chargers and Raiders. But, you know, look, it goes back to the Bobby Wood Jr. stuff we said 2 weeks ago when Bobby had that really rough game. When you're
bounce back, yeah,
at the level both of them are at, like, they're well aware of the mistake they made. Unacceptable. I'm sure they take it very hard. Now, Travis Kelce, yeah, we didn't have a chance to talk to him, as you said, after the game yesterday. I'm sure he'll talk about it on his New Heights podcast on Wednesday or whenever it comes out. And I'm sure he'll own it and talk about it as well. But it would also not surprise you what you were about to say is on Sunday Night Football against the Giants, if he comes up with a play that helps him win a game. That's the kind of stuff that usually happens in these scenarios. But it's just odd to see in two straight weeks, two plays that have really, you know, hurt your offense, to say the least, and this one in particular. Because it directly took points off the board.
Well,
it directly took points off the board.
Like, I know, again, I go back to like the emotional player part. I really do think he has to be a stabilizing force now that they're 0-2. And instead, it seems like he's been a destabilizing, right? And that's the opposite of what I would say is a huge chunk of Travis Kelce's career. But at the moment, it's like he's getting like agitated and more frustrated and it's visibly showing. And I'm not saying that never happens. Like we were pointing out when Gronk was saying like, oh, you're getting their heads. And then Tom Brady's never thrown an iPad or whatever on the sideline. But like at the moment when everybody needs to be kind of like churning together to just right the ship, at least for this week, right? Because we can talk tomorrow maybe about what they need to go in the next four games. And I would argue 3-1. But like, I do think he's a better player this year, but he made the worst mistake of the game out of anybody. He dropped a pass. And if you just drop the pass, Gold, and they don't get the touchdown, that's one thing. But he didn't just drop the pass and they got nothing. He dropped the pass.
Last week, it wasn't a drop, but maybe he cut his route off too quickly. And it was also inside the 5-yard line. That was an incomplete pass in that scenario. And I think they settled for a field goal last week, if I'm not mistaken, in that exact scenario. So it's been some mistakes that you don't expect from him. I agree with you that, yes, he looks quicker, but you said you think he's... I don't know if I would agree that he's... I think you said he's better than last year. I can't agree with that. I can't agree with that at all.
It also looks like... To me, I think it's not only bad because of the pick thing, but it's bad because you're the one who's talking on the sideline and getting mad, but then you're also... But then you can't make the catch. It emphasizes things a little bit more when you're
throwing your helmet
and you're sick and tired of it, and then you're... It just looks bad when you're getting mad at Juwan Taylor, throwing your helmet on the sideline... Then when you drop the pass and it leads to a pick, you don't want to talk to the media afterwards. I think that's just just looks really bad.
So the one thing about the not talking to the media, and I don't disagree that, like, it's weird. I usually take it more as, like, a compliment to you when you're willing to do it than a negative when you're not. The thing is, Drew, is, like, Alex and I've been covering this team. I've gone to locker rooms going back to the Alex Smith days, back to the 2013, 14, whatever. Covered this team a long time. That is a pretty... standard operating procedure for the Chiefs the entire
guys clear out pretty quick.
In the Ander, when they lose, they're gone.
Yeah, the locker room clears out
not
pretty
just
quick.
Travis, everyone.
And I'll say this in fairness: last year when they won 15 games, it's not like
they get out fast. Yeah.
I mean,
Travis wasn't available after every game.
There's a certain few players that will speak just about any time, and I give them credit for that. But I kind of what you said, Cody, it's like, you know, you shouldn't expect these guys to speak every single time after the game. There's certain games where it makes more sense.
But
then you do have some guys that I think you respect quite a bit that do talk no matter what. Like Trent McDuffie, Justin Reed was this guy too.
Chris Jones is
good for Chris Jones. Yeah,
you know, he was at the podium, so that might have been also a Chiefs PR thing more than anything. But Trent McDuffie didn't have to talk to the media after the game. He almost every single time does. Justin Reed, as I said, was that way as well. And I don't expect these guys to want to talk to us every single time. I mean, come on, especially after a loss.
It's a really tough loss.
But in that scenario, I'm not surprised that Travis wasn't.
I get it. I just think it's
game.
A bad look for you to have the attitude that he has during the game, and then not to, you know, because look, if he's going to have that energy, bring the energy to like the presser as well. I feel like if you want to get your emotions off, then that's great.
He's doing it, but he's just doing it in his own media source. So why can't I? Like, he went on that podcast and he said, "I screwed up. I take ownership."
I'm sure it'll happen again on Wednesday.
And he'll do the same thing on Wednesday. So it's like, I can't, like, as a person who's in the media, it's like I can fault him for just taking that stance and taking those accountabilities, but in a different form. He doesn't owe it to do it to me. Would I like that he did it in front of the media for the people so we can see? Sure. From a person who also works on that side of it, absolutely. But, like, he's never been afraid to take accountability for his screw-ups, which is certainly going to be something I imagine he does on Wednesday.
913-586-7965. Not only is that the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, but because the Chiefs are in uncharted territory, we'll do something we don't do very often on this show as well. We'll take some calls as well. 913-586-7965. How are you feeling? 0-2? Are you panicking? Were you at the game yesterday as well? First up, we've got Jeffrey in KCK. Jeffrey, thanks for holding. You're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey guys, one thing about Travis Kelce real quick, and then I'll get to the how I'm feeling. You know, I think with the emotion with Travis, I love it. I also am curious how much of that emotion is him internalizing the fact that this might be the last run, and he doesn't like feeling 0-2. You know, it's kind of uncharted territory for him a little bit too, and who knows if that's the case of it. But for me, my opinion may not be as exciting as what everybody's saying. I see Twitch chats kind of blowing up a bit. I just am not concerned. I really am not. I mean, we have Xavier Worthy coming back. You're going to have Rashee Rice coming back. I mean, that's going to be bigger than any trade you could imagine. We saw the Broncos falter yesterday, which is great. And, you know, one of the other teams in the AFC West tonight is losing. I just don't think that there is as much concern, because we've seen this happen with the Chiefs in previous years, and we see it in the random Colts games throughout the year. We've seen it in the random, you know, games where we're losing terribly to teams. It just happens in week 7 or 8 rather than week 1 or 2. And yes, it's against the Eagles and against the Chargers, but I just don't think that this team is going to not be 3-3 come game 6 with Rice coming back. I mean, I guess that's just me. Maybe I'm too much looking in the roses there, but, no, I appreciate it, guys. That's just kind of what I'm thinking right now.
Thank you, Jeffrey. There you go, Jeffrey in KCK. I think tomorrow we're going to talk more about map out the next couple weeks and like where do we think they need to get to before it really is a serious conversation about, you know, whether it's division,
say,
playoffs,
right,
and all that.
Has a real problem. Just have to go.
So we are going to do that. Like, I think we kind of tried to say it. There are serious concerns still with this team. Plenty of issues yesterday, things that cannot happen and all that. You can acknowledge that, just like you can acknowledge the tush push and stuff wasn't why they directly lost, but also you can be upset about it. I don't like a lot of the things I'm seeing. I also don't think this football team is as bad as 0-2. And I know the cliche is your record is what your record is. You are what your record is, whatever. You are who your record is, whatever. I butchered it. You guys know what I'm saying. But I look at the other 0-2 teams.
They don't belong in the conversation with Miami and Cleveland and Chicago's sad ass franchise. And the
defense stepping up to me gave me some hope. And then the other hope, of course, is Rice and Worthy coming back. Does that fix the offense? Now, if Rice and Worthy come back, and it's week 8 and they've played for a week or so and the offense still looks like this, then it's a completely different conversation. I am still banking on the offense can't be this way when they have actually, for the first time ever, Brown, Worthy, Rice, all on the field at the same time. I'm still banking on that. I'm also still banking on what Spags did in
history.
1 week. He'll be, imagine what happens as the season goes on. But anyway, let's go back out to the phones. Jacob in the Northland, you're on with Cody and Gold.
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to shout out to my boy Colin from the Northland and my other boy Matt from Houston.
All right.
I just wanted to say, I just texted in, and honestly, how much more are we going to go until we start to admit that Travis is pretty detrimental to this football team? Honestly, I think it's time to give Noah Gray a lot more looks and a lot more touches and some more opportunity, because we know he's capable of it. I agree with you guys a lot. I think if Rice and Worthy come in and we look like the offense that's the well-oiled machine, yeah, back to normal. But we're also taking these L's that I don't know, you know, how detrimental those are going to be when it's come playoff time. Granted, I think that we can still win the division, obviously, but we got to get our heads on straight offensively, or I don't know where this team is going. And as far as the defense, Spags really, you know, said something to get these guys to step up. But, I mean, there's still a lot of key mistakes out there. And guys maybe are being just too emotional, honestly.
There you go, Jacob in the Northland. Yeah. Actually, so I disagree with the last part, because I appreciate the call, Jacob. The last part I disagree, though, just last week we were saying they didn't match the emotion of the Chargers and being in Brazil and all that, and now we're saying they're too emotional. Energy, yeah. So I disagree with that. I get your first part where, like, hey, eventually, in terms of like the seeding conversation stuff, yeah, if you were to drop one to the Ravens in a week or so, all of a sudden you'd have losses to the potential playoff team and the Ravens, a potential playoff team.
Yeah,
and
you're
the Chargers,
be playing wild card weekend in a middle seed.
Yeah, that is very true. I agree with that part.
Also, Noah Gray, they can call him Casper. He's been a ghost.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen Noah Gray? Has two catches this year for 4 yards.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
I wouldn't mind seeing Noah Gray a little bit more. I disagree with, you know, like Noah Gray should be getting, you know, as much opportunity as Kelsey or something like that. That to me is crazy.
I don't think Kelsey's a detriment yet. I don't think he's as good as Kelsey 5 years ago, sure. Yeah. But, like, I still think he's better than last year.
The first 2 weeks, he has hurt this football team. That is reality. That can still be reality with also saying, hey, he's part of the solution still for this football team to get to where they need to get. They need him to be part of the solution if you think this team can still be a 11, 12, 13-win football team. Whatever. And I don't know where everybody's opinions are on win-loss, if it's changed, shifted drastically or not. I will point out, now, we didn't think they were happening in an 0-2 start by any means, but if you thought they were 11-win football team, they were gonna lose the football games. Now, admittedly, I don't think anybody thought they were going 0-2, though. All right, one final call. Dylan in KC, Mo, you're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey, guys. First, want to shout out my wife. Sorry, my voice is a little scratchy. I was at the game yesterday. But honestly, not too disappointed with the outcome. I mean, obviously, the Travis drop was pretty detrimental to the vibes on the sideline and in the stadium. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty optimistic. Like I said, just give me to week 7, week 8 when we got all the guys back, and I think we'll get it on strike.
Dylan and KC Moe calling in the show, 913-586-7965. Thanks for the call.
The only reason, and this is why I don't understand the text line when they're like, burn it all down, is, I mean,
who's saying burn it all down?
No. Just like, some are just like on this, like, it's so negative, it's all over, the run's done. It's like, I don't, they do deserve, and not just because they do deserve as a franchise some benefit of the doubt here, that they will correct some of these things. I mean, they have won a lot of games.
The key is what we said, is Rice and Worthy coming back. What does it look like then? This all hinges on that, frankly. It really does. I mean, it all hinges on that.
If they're bad at offense, then this isn't bad here, and they've got a lot to fix.
Because the defense, you know, it looks like, based off of the lack of pass rush, is likely not going to be good as a year ago. I think it's very fair to say. The question is, to what extent is the drop-off? I think it's very promising that week 1 to week 2, there was serious improvement, but it's clear that, I mean, Spags had a blitz 64% of the time in order to, I think, lead to that type of performance. Can you do that on a weekly basis? I don't think so. Can you do that when you take on a quarterback that is able to maybe sling it a little bit more? Now, Jalen Hurts only had 2.1 seconds to throw the football, so I don't know how many quarterbacks would have put up massive numbers, but the guy threw for 101 yards. You get credit for that, but also I think the Eagles were more than happy with the way that game was going to play that style of football. We did say on Friday, I'd picked the Eagles to lose, so I was wrong there. We did say we thought this was going to be like a 2017, type of ugly or lower scoring football game. You know, I don't think anybody thought that was going to be a shootout. That was the style of play both teams were more than willing to play.
Yep. And both teams had a good chance to win the football game in the fourth quarter as a result of it.
Someone said, when did you guys become the shout-out show? Yeah, I don't know what was up with that. I appreciate the callers. I don't know why.
Did you tell people to shout people out when they came on the air?
Were you trying to sabotage? I don't know what was going on.
I'm totally
we do shout-outs on the show.
People were calling in and just shouting out people, you know?
They did not
kinda,
say anything.
Just kind of happened.
Look, they did not say anything about that. From now on, I will remind people. Let's
honestly,
skip the
let them have their shout out. What do I care?
You know?
If it's quick, you know, then whatever. Okay. All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Hey.
All right, we know, Cody, you had a birthday recently. Drew, yours is in October?
A little over a month away.
That's what I thought. Okay.
He'll be 30.
So there was an issue with a birthday party in Germany. A birthday wish in Germany almost led to third-degree burns. You're like, okay, what happened here? Yeah, so a 20-year-old... was leaning over his cake. There's footage now of this. While relatives set up what everyone assumed were standard, like, sparklers, like the candles for the cake. The problem is the room filled with flames and screams as the candles shot off like a pyrotechnics demo in the middle of the dining room. They were not candles, guys. They were fireworks in the birthday cake. So that's what happened.
How do you mess that up when you're going to buy those?
I do not know. I think it's pretty evident, you know, and maybe the laws are different there. I cannot just go to the grocery store and buy birthday candles that also happen to be next to the Roman candles. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's a pretty bad misstep.
Here's the have
the
you
Roman
seen the video?
Candles, yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, at first I thought, oh, this is a setup.
Somebody going to do this instead of, like, the candles that don't blow out? Like, you're going to mess with poor Drew and put Roman candles on top of his cake?
Better be doing that outside. Ruin the seal. I mean, you'll catch the building on fire.
Would I get fired if I put I lit some Roman candles in
that here? One? You would be fired for if you ruined the studio and caught it on fire.
What if I didn't catch it on fire? I just happened to shoot a Roman candle in here, and you know.
What do you think's gonna happen?
I don't know. Just like I singed a couple of tiles.
All the tiles come crashing down. All the lights come crashing down. You do $1,000 worth of damage.
I'm getting fired for that. I'm saying, what if I just like singe a couple of the tiles and the rest of us are fine?
Hmm.
Put some holes.
The first
carpet.
Question before they fire you would be. What were you thinking? Oh, yeah. Like,
there'll be a debrief. I imagine, no matter what.
What was the thought process behind that?
I don't know.
Man, what a wild way to explain being fired that would be. Like, how'd you get fired? Lit some Roman candles in my workplace
in the studio. I'm like, and then why did you think that was a good idea?
I didn't. You know, great
didn't
question.
Didn't think.
Good question.
Up next, we will get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk more about Chris Jones, his performance, and also kind of a bizarre mic'd up moment very late in that football game, and then we'll get back into how this team is 0-2, plus Andy Reid.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
About a half hour away.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in a half hour, Andy Reid will speak to the media exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan, as he does each and every Monday. Plenty to hear from him, more thoughts on the game. And also, I'm sure, now, it'll be too early in the week, but you know, he'll be asked about Xavier Worthy, who it sounds like was somewhat close to playing on Sunday, even though he was officially doubtful Friday and then ruled out by Saturday afternoon. A lot of national reporting suggesting that Xavier Worthy could play this Sunday night. We've got all week for that. Certainly, as we all watch this offense, Xavier Worthy being part of it would be a big boost considering the lack of explosiveness. And if you're a defense right now, I think it's very easy to match up with them. You're not worried about the run game. Tyquan Thornton's got open deep a few times. Other than that, I don't know if you're really that concerned right now.
I mean, yeah, if I'm a defense, I'd be like, okay, pretty simple here. We'll limit Travis Kelce. Keep an eye on Tyquan, like you said, occasionally. Other than that, who's shown up? Noah Gray has 4 receiving yards. Anybody seen Juju? He's on the milk carton.
Yeah, week one he was week one, but this week he didn't do anything. Yeah, week one he was their second leading receiver, I think.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, no one is stepping up in some massive way in the early part, but that's not the point. The point for these next 4 games is survival. It is just win under any means necessary and then fix the offense in a month. Maybe I feel a little bit different if Worthy comes back this week where they need at least to look a little bit better offensively, but we'll see.
We'll get into just the 0-2 start more specifically and just how this moment has been reached. And I don't think it's just a, well, they've lost two football games and the Worthy injury and Rice suspension. It also goes back to the offseason and a few things that we had talked about on this show around the draft and the way things were trending. I think some of it is very fair. I think some of it is revisionist history. I'll explain that coming up in a couple of minutes. But towards the end of the game yesterday and the very end when it was over, when the Eagles were going to take a few knees, there was a mic'd up moment that went viral yesterday towards the end. I think Fox had it picked up and then pushed it out on social media. It's pretty quick, but this was Chris Jones and Jalen Hurts. So this is Jalen Hurts walking up to the line of scrimmage, basically about to, you know, ice the game.
2-0 start to the season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2 and hand Patrick Mahomes his first ever three-game losing streak.
So I don't know how well that came across, I'll be honest.
You didn't even have 100 yards.
Yeah, I don't know how well that came across on the radio. But yeah, go ahead, Cody. Sorry, read the quote.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, that was... So Chris Jones says, you didn't even have 100 yards in talking about their passing game. And then you can hear Jalen Hurts said, we won the game. It's just a reminder
he said, shut your ass up.
He is walking to the line of scrimmage for victory formation. This is one of the worst look that you want to talk about earlier when I was saying like signs of like, don't let him get to you. Don't crack. Don't start that. What are you doing? You're talking trash to a guy. He's walking up for victory formation. Now that says, I will say maybe that speaks to the problem that is currently with this team, which is it was not the defense's fault that they lost that game. So Chris Jones is like, we did our job. You didn't even get anything. Oh, look at you celebrating on offense. You didn't get anything. It's just not the time. I'm not saying you didn't do a good job. I'm not saying the defense didn't do a great job. We already talked about that. They clearly did. But your team's losing. If they're in victory formation, it's time to not say anything. That's like when the guys do the incomplete and you're down 30. You don't get to throw the first down marker up if you're down 50-10. Nobody cares you got a first down. It's not the time.
Yeah, that
it's
one's
not that you
one,
can't do it. It's just not the time.
That's one of those mic'd up moments where I guess they weren't mic'd up, right? The mics picked it up. They weren't mic'd up. But where Eagles fans are going to love it, and they did. Eagles fans are going to love it. And if you're a Chiefs fan, that should irritate you because there's really nothing you can say on that one. There's nothing you can say on that one, you know? And that's when you just got to take the L.
You got to wear.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty good comeback. He's like, we won the game.
It's true, though. It's like,
get your ass up.
It is like, so true, though. It's like, who cares what our stats look like? We just beat your ass. Like, it is true. Like, what are you
doing? And we beat you in the Super Bowl before. It's not even just
I don't know what was
one
that.
Team getting. I think he's just frustrated. They're just frustrated. They're not used to being in this spot. That's all it is. This is more than just normal. Like, we're holding each other accountable. It's an emotional game. We're showing our emotions. They're letting their frustration get the better of them at the end of these games. Yeah. I'm not saying it's costing them football games yet, but that was pretty clear.
And someone on the text line, I'm sure this is true, yes, from the 816, guess more was said during the game. Oh, I'm sure there was plenty of trash talk during the game. It's just like, hey, at that point, the game, you know you lost, and so you really can't say anything at that moment. But yeah, I'm sure plenty of trash talk was said throughout the entire game between both sides. You know there was.
Yeah.
Given the history that those two franchises now have with each other.
It just felt like kind of a sad moment. You're like, like when you're yelling at each other, you're trying to hold each other accountable. There's a lot more understanding in it. When you're trying to trash talk the guy who's beaten you two times in a row in your last three games and you're off to an 0-2 start, like it's just not the moment. Like, look, if you're a bad football teams do that. Bad football teams are like 4-11 and trash talking when they get the win. You're like, we're heading to the playoffs. Oh, you got me on that one. Good for you. You know, like Carolina Panthers. And they're not again, I don't think the Chiefs are a bad football team. I think they will still win a lot of games this year. Do I think that they're winning 14? They're going 14-3 like I predicted before the season? Can't say that I do, Gold. Can't say that if you let me alter my win projection, I won't alter it. I think that's fairly obvious based on the way that this is going. I just think they got to find a way to stabilize. I think a win will make them feel a lot better. I think for the Chiefs, this is a weird pace. They haven't won in...
It's been a bit. AFC title game.
Yeah, so like it just... For them, it's got to just feel bizarre. They don't remember what it's like to like walk off the field and win. Like, that's just got to be... And I get most teams had waited that long from the end of their regular season to the beginning of their regular season, but...
Everything is heightened and magnified. This is, I said, like, we're just not used to this in Kansas City
in
a long time.
And it's because expectation.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
If you're Chris Jones and I think his internal thoughts maybe of the offense got vocalized a little bit there where... You know, traditionally, he's been good at, I would say, keeping to himself how he feels about things. But I think his internal thoughts about how bad the offense has been. Like, I did my job. It doesn't, like, as long as I did my job, then it's whatever. It's not my problem. Like, it felt like he was blaming the offense without blaming the offense in a way by him saying what he said. Like, he,
in a way, he did. Yeah, like, he put it on the offense.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a shot as much at Jalen Hurts as it was, we're doing our job, you know, and then Jalen Hurts had to remind him, yeah, and you guys still lost the game. I think Chris's, his internal thoughts of, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, the offense isn't, and they aren't getting the job done. That's
it's what a dangerous it comes rhetoric.
Across. Yeah, it comes across as that also.
Because in any individual game,
you're talking bad about your team in that same comment while you're trying to diss Jalen Hurts or whatever.
In a way, yeah. Yeah, I think it's like you got to read between the lines. But yeah, I think that there's a lot in that comment that says, I did everything I was supposed to do. We did what we were supposed to do. But Chris Jones didn't maintain outside leverage on the final play of the previous game.
Right, right.
So it's like, it's just not that you can't,
and that
you can't fire back on the other side of the offense or the defense if both teams, both sides are making mistakes.
And that's the thing, as we talk about the 0-2 start now, and the first time, you know, Mahomes has lost three in a row, if you include the Super Bowl, it's just hadn't happened in his
career.
Which
is an insane
stat.
It
is a pretty crazy stat that it's taken this long, and also it had to include a Super Bowl for him to even get to that mark. That is true. But you said it at the end there, Cody, of that conversation about Chris Jones and the mistake last week. You know, why is this team 0-2? There is a long list, and we've worked through some of them today. Tomorrow we will talk more. We will talk about, you know, guys on staff as well, and I know some of you have texted in about play calling and all that. We'll get into all that tomorrow on the show. I think, you know, right this second, you know, how are they 0-2? In large part, yeah, it's all the offense. That's the huge chunk of the pie, I would put.
It's a way bigger part of the
issue. That's the bigger chunk. Defense is still on that pie chart, trust me, especially with last week's performance.
Andy Reid's game
plan. Matt Nagy, people want to put him on the pie chart pretty high on the list and all that. I get it. I think for me, though, you said it with Jones, your star and also highly paid players in 2 weeks have hurt you at times more than they helped you, shockingly. And that's not something we've typically seen. It's not something I think will continue, but it has happened. Travis Kelce, we went through it already. Of course, the interception this week. Last week, a mistake, at least he claims, on the route that led to a Worthy injury. You know, last week there was a short-armed route he broke off too early. That maybe was a touchdown as well. Patrick Mahomes has had some moments that obviously are incredible. He's also had some way overthrown footballs, including one to Tyquan Thornton yesterday.
The worst throw of his career.
That was crazy. I know they ended up getting a touchdown to Thornton later on that drive, so I guess it was a wash in that regard. But time-wise, it wasn't a wash. And then, you know, we're going through different moments of the first two games. But, you know, Juwan Taylor, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. There's too many of your key pieces that you should not be worrying about that have made crucial mistakes that have directly led to points or iced a game, you know, like last week on the 3rd and 14.
And
that can't happen. That's how you're 0-2, especially when you're 0-2, not against, you didn't play the Saints and the Giants, who they're going to play Sunday. You know, you played the Chargers, who could be a real threat in the division. It looks like
could
they are
2-0 tonight.
Yeah, they play the Raiders, the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl, who I still think will end up being one of the top 2-3 teams in the NFC easily. I know the Packers are the flavor of the month and they look really, really good, but I think the Eagles are very likely to be one of the top 2 seeds still.
Yes.
They're going to win their division. All that is still true. So you can't have those players making mistakes anyway. You can get away with that maybe against other teams. You're definitely not getting away with that against teams like the Eagles and the Chargers. And that's why they sit 0-2 and in a spot they haven't been in a very long time, 2014 the last time.
The 49ers are kind of a good example of what you're pointing out. The 49ers have just as many injuries as the Chiefs, and maybe worse, because they're without Brock Purdy. A very, very, very important player, turns out, because that's the starting quarterback. Now, he did play in week one. He didn't just play this week against the New Orleans Saints. But they're 2-0, despite not having George Kittle, missing Purdy for a game, missing some of their wide receivers for either injury or suspension and a million other things. And they're 2-0. So, like, you can't use injuries forever as an excuse. And this week will not be an excuse. And so if it's like, why are they 0-2? Like, if somebody just said, hey, Cody, why? I haven't watched the Chiefs yet this year. Why are the Chiefs 0-2? I would say, okay, one is part of it, like you said, the pie chart. Some of it is injury. Some of it is you're playing a difficult schedule and you don't have all your horses. But it's a much smaller portion than, I would say, shooting yourself in the foot mistakes in both games, where you were just allowing yourself to beat yourself. in the third quarter of that Chargers game, they got it back to 13-13. And this goes all across the board. You know, we haven't even mentioned the first two games. If Harrison Butker makes a kick, an extra point in a field goal in both of these games, they might win them.
That's
too.
That's fair. Add him to the list of Jones and Kelsey and these guys
and
we're talking about.
You pay the highest at their position. Sure. If you're the highest paid interior defensive lineman, you're the highest paid offensive tackle. If you're the highest paid, of those guys and you're making mistakes, and the Chiefs have a few of them, they're all on that. It feels so self-inflicted still.
It is.
Versus like the other team is just taking you out of your game at times. It feels so self-inflicted.
I think it is. Now we're talking specific what's happened the last 2 weeks, but let's step back a little bit. I think if we're being honest, there's certainly decisions that have been made, whether it's this offseason and others, that also may have contributed to why they're up against it the way they're up against it, right? Like the running back thing, we've said it for a few weeks now, going back to around the draft, we said it, and that was we did not feel they addressed the running back room the way they should have in the offseason.
Yes.
And the offensive line run scheme short yards has been a problem for years. This is not unique to just Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco in the year 2025. However, the explosiveness, it was very evident. I thought this offseason, we were worried the day they re-signed Kareem Hunt. I remember Josh Briscoe walked in studio like 5 minutes after it happened. And we were like, I don't like this. Does this mean this means they're not going to really spend a high draft pick on a running back? And some people were trying to talk us off that the ledge a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up waiting until the seventh round to take a running back. They didn't, you know, in free agency, they spent money on Elijah Mitchell, who hasn't been active, by the way, in two games, correct? Was he active?
No.
He was inactive.
Two inactives to start. And he was this offseason signing. And I'm not saying they spent a lot of money on either of those, Hunt or Mitchell.
$1 million.
Nothing in the grand scheme of things. But the point being is they used a seventh round pick and then two veteran deals, essentially like $1 million or $2 million. And then they obviously still had Isaiah Pacheco. And I'm totally fine with Pacheco being on this team.
They were making on the wide receivers being the weapons.
I understand. And that's why we'll see in a couple weeks. Kareem Hunt looks like their best running back right now, which is, I still think, a major problem if that's the case. Mm-hmm. And so they did not address the running back room. That is a off-season issue, a months ago problem that has led also to some of this issue that they're experiencing in the first couple weeks of the season.
They had one play where I think it was a third down and they had Kareem Hunt in and they ran. Mahomes threw a flat route to him where he needed to get set. He's not the running back to do, like, he's not.
I got to say.
He's not the guy for that sort of a thing. And there was.
You need the vision of Hunt and the speed of Pacheco, if that makes sense. That back is not on the roster.
We're a couple of weeks away from saying, are you sure? Just hand it to Rashard Smith. It doesn't have to be on third down if you don't like it in the protection end. There's no harm pretty soon here of just seeing if he can run the ball better. I did look it up earlier. Someone was asking me over on the YouTube chat, it's like, how many times did Tom Brady lose three games in a row? Twice. He lost three. That's it. In his whole NFL
That's
career,
crazy.
That man played until he was 45.
Yeah, they did have a year they started 0-2, and I think they won the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Twice. Well, the last time the Chiefs went to the AFC
title. But you're talking about Brady right now. So
Brady lost three games in a row two times. His first time was in his third NFL season in 2002. They lost three games in a row. They finished 9-7, and they missed the playoffs. The next time he lost three games in a row was 2022 with the Bucks. That's how long he went.
Yeah.
That's what Mahomes is doing, though.
Yeah.
Mahomes has been in the league for 7 years, and this is the first time he's lost
three
games in a row.
He turns 30 tomorrow or Wednesday or something.
Yeah, and we got to take the Super Bowl from last year just to get to the three games in a row, not three regular season games in a row, a Super Bowl and two games against playoff teams. The one thing that's giving me some hope is those are two very good football teams. They're not playing good. They don't have all their weapons. They have a lot of things going wrong, but they have played what I think will be two teams that will end up combining for probably 25 wins, maybe 24 wins, but somewhere in that range between those two teams. Chargers will probably win 11 or 12 games, and I think the Eagles will win 12 or 13 games. And if you start looking at two teams like that, you're not playing your best, and you actually had a chance to win both of those football games. At least I can see the correctable areas in which your team can improve. They're clearly in that. Like, I'm not worried about them missing the playoffs yet. I don't feel like we have to entertain
way too early for that.
It
still is way too early for that.
Do I think the one seed's dead? Probably. Yeah, but I didn't get into that. I mean, that's probably dead, but.
Didn't think they were getting the one. I mean, this is not revisionist history.
We didn't think the
Bills, to me, were always getting the number one seed this season. And some people may not like that, but based on their division, their schedule, I did not think that was in play this year anyway. The question is the division in jeopardy? And I think we'll learn a little bit even more after tonight. The one thing I'll still say about the division, about no matter how ugly it is to be 0-2, you get the Chargers at home another time. You still have two against the Broncos and you have two against the Raiders. So that's why I refuse to say, even if the Chargers get off to a 2-0 start, that the division's over. You have way too many games against divisional opponents to go.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, all but one
That's why you should be rooting for, if you're a Chiefs fan, you should be rooting for the Raiders tonight.
So says,
you got both your games against the Raiders left. Well, it's just it's less risk. You'd rather.
Oh, no, 100%.
You know, the belief in the Raiders bigger picture is not nearly the belief in the Chargers or
yeah.
Broncos.
No, 100%. Yeah.
And you still have both your games against the Raiders. So technically, if you're two games behind them, you can negate that completely by just beating them twice. You can't do that with the Chargers.
I'm curious. I know we're going to break a little bit early to get to Andy. Somebody had texted about the onside kick thing. Did they? To me,
pitiful effort.
I questioned. Well, the kick was awful, but
those are a waste of time.
But I don't understand why they. I don't know why they didn't. I think that gave off to me the vibe that Andy didn't trust the defense to get a stop.
They didn't have any timeouts left. I think that was a
because if they kicked it deep and you get the stop, at least they're not in field goal range. Where the Eagles were in field goal range anyway. Like, let's say the Chiefs get the stop, the Eagles can still kick a field goal and make it. And they go up six. Where if you get the stop, you get a good punt return. Who knows? All you need is a field goal instead of a touchdown.
There were a couple of weirdo ones. I probably would have gone for it on that 4th and 7 as well with 7 minutes to go. That felt like punting on the seat. It felt like you're just punting on the game there. Obviously, they were still in it, but it still kind of felt that way. So
I was fine with the 4th and 1 right out of the half. I had on their own 30 something. I had no issue with the decision, but yeah, it's the play call. You can you cannot like the play call of the execution. You can still like the decision. That's one of those where I actually love the aggressiveness. I found and he could tell like they needed the momentum coming out of half. It backfired, led to free 3 points. I know the final score was 3 as well. You know, we can play that game all day long. I had no problem with the decision, but I didn't like the play call. You know, on a 3rd and 1, they passed, and they ran on it on the 4th and 1.
Yeah. Part of it is just like running it up the middle on 4th and 1 when Patrick Mahomes is, I don't know, maybe the best third down running quarterback of a generation. Like, he's legitimately great.
I would run a passing play over what they tried to do sometimes. Like
I would too, because I'd want
decision.
Patrick Mahomes to be able to get the yard.
Let him make the decision.
Yeah. I agree. If we're not going to run a QB sneak, no more running it up the middle with Isaiah Pacheco or Kareem Hunt. We got to give Patrick Mahomes the dual option of either or, not just one or the other. That's all. Although going back to the early part of the show, I would just prefer that they do a QB sneak like a normal team. And I know that it's like at some point you're like, but we know they're never going to do it. Why bring it up? Because it's insane. Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches of all time, and he will not run the most successful, highest probability play in NFL history. And that makes no sense.
Gardner Minshew, QB sneak quarterback.
Yep.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? All right, up next, Andy Reid is going to speak. We're going to carry that press conference exclusively on 96.5 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.